If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show. Exploring Theology, Doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking. I'm your host, Greg Moore.
And I'm Jason Hamlin.
And Jason is tidying up over there on the laptop.
That's yeah, why
he had to pause a little bit.
Last minute rushing.
You know, it's been a few weeks since we've been in studio, so we're kind of rusty.
Right.
You know, we got so many things going here with the laptops and the monitors and the live Facebook.
New table. We got the theology books. It's throwing me off because I want to just pick one up and read it.
Don't do that. The whole thing will fall over. Yeah, right. Good Lord. But, you know, we also have something else going on. We have someone on the line with us right now. Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I do, because I was just speaking to him. So
I do too. It is Dwayne Atkinson from the Bar Podcast. How are you, sir?
What's going on? I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yes, thanks. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And let me just give you a quick introduction. Now, this guy reached out to me in week two. Maybe week even one or two.
Might have been one
of the podcasts. And he's because Dwayne's been podcasting for quite a while. He's got a podcast network, which he can explain a little bit. And he reached out and he said, "You want to know what? I scour the internet. I am the social media king of podcasts. I saw you got one episode out. I want to help you out, brother." And not that many people do that kind of stuff, even within the Christian community. I didn't know the first thing. We had just started.
Right.
Heck, I don't even think you were the official co-host
yet.
No. Here's Dwayne calling me up out of nowhere going, hey, why don't you try using this, do that. It's good to do this and that. Give me all these pointers. And brother, I just really appreciate you. And he's one of our first guests. I think maybe the third or fourth guest.
That's awesome.
And we touched a little bit about on his testimony and his life story. But I wanted to have him back on after he gives a brief introduction of himself. And we wanted to talk about NAR tonight.
Yeah.
The New Apostolic Reformation. I know that's touched your life. Yep. He touched on a little bit on his episode. And guys, go back and listen to that episode with Dwayne. It was pretty awesome. But Dwayne, why don't you give a little introduction once again for any new listeners that we might have, and a little bit about the podcast and the network and the stuff that you do, so they can get in touch with you if they need to.
Awesome, brother. Well, first, thank you again for bringing me back on. I don't take that lightly at all, for sure. So my name is Dwayne Atkinson. I hail from Fayetteville, North Carolina, originally from a little town called Turkey, North Carolina. Big shout out to Turkey, North Carolina. Husband of one wife and father of four children. And I've been podcasting since 2016, and God has blessed us to grow and create a podcast network that features some of the top podcasts in the nation. Actually, now with Just Thinking being number one iTunes a couple of times. So
that's a good one.
They're part of the Bar Podcast Network, and there's several others. And anytime you want to get up with me, you always can find me at thebarpodcast.com. And definitely my handle is Dwayne, the number 21, at all the spots, man. And I'm just happy to be here. This is a topic that is near and dear to me because I witnessed it firsthand. And it's a unique story, especially in our circles. A lot of people in our circles haven't experienced this, so I'm excited.
That's awesome. And you know, I have actually a little audio of Dwayne when he found out that the podcast he was working with, Just Thinking, went to number one on iTunes. Okay, that's
that was very, that's very close.
No, but man, go ahead.
No, I was going to say in the inbox that I share with Daryl and Virgil, and we have a Just Thinking team. Like that was very close to my reaction when I saw that. Like, oh my gosh! Like I could not believe it. So that's pretty spot on.
And I've got to believe too that it's not just because it's that number one, but all the work, all the hustle,
for sure,
all the sweat and tears you put into that, the dedication. I know you know, when we talked on the first episode, when you do something, you do it 100%. And to see that,
sure,
man, I was so happy. I was liking every post for like that week. Like, yeah, go. Plus, both them and you have great podcasts, very informative.
Yep.
I listen to them as much as I can. But let's jump right into what we want to discuss tonight. We do want to try to keep it to about 30 minutes. And geez, I think we're going right along here. So NAR. So we've mentioned it before, the New Apostolic Reformation. Dwayne, why don't you give us a little definition of what NAR is for our listeners? We throw the term NAR back and forth all the time.
Yep.
But just in case anyone listening doesn't understand, that's just an acronym for the New Apostolic Reformation. Why don't you give us a brief overview of it, and then we'll jump into our experiences.
Yeah, so New Apostolic Reformation, it's funny because one of the guys that spearheaded this movement, C. Peter Wagner, actually went to, I think it was Dallas Theological Seminary. Mm. And so he had actual training, and that's actually, he used the whole, Reformation, kind of piggybacking off of Luther. And so he made the claim in the proclamation that the office of apostle has been reinstated into the earth. You know, there was a season where, there was this, people calling themselves prophets, and kind of on the back end of that, he kind of made that declaration that the office of apostle was back. God has told him that the office of apostle is back. This is the New Apostolic Reformation. You know, we're going to reform what's going on in the church. And he was considered the apostle of apostles. And so pretty much what it is, I guess, in a nutshell, is the returning of the apostolic office to modern day Christianity, modern day church.
And when we're talking about the apostolic in the apostle, we're talking about capital A versus lowercase a. And just
exactly,
for any listeners, there is a gift of apostleship, which I do believe in. And then there's a capital A apostle, which is the apostles, which is the office, along with Christ being the cornerstone of the church, really being the foundation of the early church. And they really advocate for the return of the old type of office of prophet and office of apostle, along with a litany of other things. With
plethora.
Thank you. we have our dictionaries here with us tonight. And
so, no.
And thesaurus is with us tonight doing now you made me lose my train of thought.
Sorry.
Basically, interwoven with Pentecostalism, charismatic, yes. Things like that, with the gifts and stuff like that. So that's kind of the overview. Probably the most popular NAR members, I guess you could say, are the ones advocating for NAR. Would probably be Bethel, wouldn't you say, Dwayne? Bethel Church?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely Bethel. Now they're kind of they made it popular. I'll say that.
Right.
They made it commercial because of their already huge reach with Bill and those guys. So yeah, definitely Bethel pushed it hard because a long time it seemed like the fringe side of it, but they've kind of made it popular for sure.
Yeah, and I really remember when I came, when the Lord saved me in 2004, I remember getting into a Bill Johnson book called When Heaven Invades Earth, because he was like the new popular kind of underground guy. All these schools of ministries and kind of these unaccredited 1 and 2 year schools you go to where you give, like $8,000 or $10,000 to this church and then they teach you a bunch of stuff and don't give you any accreditation. he was
I did it.
Sorry, Jason. It's getting a little personal for you.
Yeah, they might be watching right now.
He was popular, and I got about halfway through the book. I bought 6 copies. I was going to do a Bible study, and I went, well, this just doesn't line up. I don't know if I believe that Christ fully emptied himself of deity when he was here on earth. I believe he was fully God and fully man. And even as a young Christian, like I've always said, I said the sinner prayers at 7, and God saved me at 23. Even as a younger guy, I was going, something doesn't line up here. And I was kind of reading it through doctrinal theological eyes, and it didn't line up with what the Bible said. So he came on my radar kind of early in 2004. Well, earlier than before it became mainstream. But then with the worship music and things like that, Bethel has really pushed that kind of NAR narrative. So what was your experience with NAR? Because now you're kind of in the, well, I wouldn't say kind of, but you are in the Reformed camp, I would say you can refer to yourself as, right? Believer in the doctrines of grace, all those things. Right. So what was your NAR experience, and how did you kind of get attached to that?
Sure. So, it's great when you brought the whole charismatic word of faith, interwovenness of it, because that's how I fell into it, not knowing, it was what it was. But so the way it happened was I was part of a word of faith charismatic church, and the pastor, they called him an apostle. I mean, that's what they called the pastor at this church. And so I was kind of introduced to it through that, joining this church and seeing this guy, okay, he's apostle. Well, I say his name, God Almighty, Apostle Ron Carpenter, people he's probably on TV, TBN and all that stuff.
Sure.
And so that's how I was introduced to it, but they didn't really talk about it or teach on it. Like, just say he's an apostle because of the things he's done or whatever, whatever. And through another couple that I met through, me and my wife used to host conferences. My wife used to do a lot of liturgical dance and things like that. And a couple from Dallas came to the conference, and they were apostles. And so through this couple, they were like, you guys are talented. You're gifted. God is going to use you. You need to take our ministry class so we can release you as ministers. Because at the end of the day, it's all about pride, man. So the whole thing is just feeding that pride monster. Yep. So like, yeah, we are talented. We should be ministers. Let's take their course. And so we take this course, which is pretty much like a phone conference once a week, and to fill in the blank, and write essays and read books. And, we read about, C. Peter Wagner and what's his name? Eckhart. I forgot his first name. John Eckhart. Mm-hmm. We read all, we assigned all these books and had to write all these letters and these papers. And we went to the big, graduation in Dallas, Texas. And at the graduation, you had to give like your little sermon or whatever to kind of end it off. And at the ceremony, they would tell you what fivefold ministry gift you have or you walk in or whatever from their quizzes and, you know, conversations. And so, when it was all over.
So is it a quiz that you're taking to tell you the gift? Or, I mean, is it like a personality test? Is it the leaders pray over you and say, this is what we feel you have?
You find out what your number is, like the Enneagram.
Yeah, do you do an Enneagram and see what your number is? Like, I know we're joking about this, but I'm really interested to know what was that process for them to this is your gift. That's a huge thing they're telling you.
Yeah,
it is. It's a huge thing. And so the thing is, it was all of that you just mentioned. It was a quiz. It was, the whole personality, getting to know. And then at the ceremony, it was like, okay, what is God saying? Okay, you guys, in the gift of apostles, whatever. This is your apostles, And then you get a little certificate that says you're apostle, and you put a little tassel around you. And now,
I'm sorry. It just sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wonder if Paul got his. Oh, did Paul get his certificate?
Paul, yeah, he may.
He was making tents, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Which is vastly different than the Reformed survey for your gift. It just is one question. It says, are you a sinner? And you have to put yes.
Right. That's it. There's only one block. Yeah.
Are you good? Yes. No, I'm not. I'm wretched.
So
you get to the ceremony. What was your gifting? What was your calling? Or your
We were apostles, man.
You were apostles. Okay.
Yeah, man.
So you could
me and my wife.
You could plant some churches.
And start writing the Bible. Yeah, I mean, inspired by God. If you're capital A, right? Go right up there with Paul and Mark and.
It's
John.
Funny because when I changed my name on Twitter, I got attacked by probably what Reformed people. I just didn't know.
They were watching you from afar, man.
Yeah. It was like, you're an apostle. Oh, so you saw Jesus ascend to heaven?
Yeah, right.
Like, and I was like, block.
sure.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, you
don't know what they're talking about.
But you bring up a good point, because people listening that might not be familiar with this go, well, what's the problem with having a capital A apostle, the office of apostle? And we say, well, there's certain criteria in the Bible. Mm-hmm. For that, yes. Right? Well, first and foremost, like you said, had to see Christ ascend or actually have a one-on-one personal meeting. Like Paul said, I've seen Christ and I've been called apostle. Two, you have the office of apostle actually writing the inspired word of God, mm-hmm. part of the canonical Bible. So, we joke about it, but if you're a capital A office of apostle, what's to stop you to say your words don't carry just as much weight as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the rest of them? And we can start adding to the word. And you've actually seen this within NAR, to where some of the apostle fathers have said things that aren't necessarily in line with the Bible, yet the adherents follow that because almost like a Catholic tradition, the tradition of the apostles almost outweighs the inerrancy of Scripture, which anytime we add to the Bible, right, that's where we really start to see error, because we start to supersede and stop reading, our worldview stops coming through the Bible and coming through men.
Yeah, you can go to 2 Timothy 4:3 for that.
Yeah, read it out.
For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And that's exactly what's happening.
What's wrong with you people? Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're not waiting for the second and third volume of the Bible. We have the Bible.
Right.
It's ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of my favorite cartoons I've ever seen is a guy looking up at the clouds and he says, God, why won't you speak to me? And then just a big hand with a Bible comes down.
Yeah.
Hands him a Bible, right? Like he does speak to us every single day.
Right. I've heard Peters say, if you want to hear God speak, just read the Bible out loud.
There you go. So
if you want to hear him speak audibly,
read the Bible out loud.
Okay, so you have the graduation. You are an apostle. You hold the office. Yep. You're changing social media accounts. Unbeknownst to you, probably Reformed people calling you out on it and you blocking them. So what's the next move? I mean, are you going in this full steam and you're saying, hey, I got to start doing, the mandate of the kingdom theology here and what NAR tells me to as an apostle? Or do you start reading, when do you have the shift?
Sure. So I wish it was right away. I really tried, to move forward with what I thought it should, would look like. As far as being a quote unquote trailblazer, and I had all these plans of planning a church and doing this, just all these big plans, and actually was creating my own disciples and getting people to telling people about the apostolic office, and calling pastors that were friends like, man, you having a gift with I'm ready to label them as apostles, But one thing I noticed, man, is it just felt weighty, like from that day, like almost like, you know, a burden on my shoulders. Every time somebody would call me that, almost, you know, my head would drop, you know, just felt like, you know, can I really, you know, am I really, you know, thinking about all of my sin, my wretchedness. I'm like, is this, you know, can I really carry this? And so that was the start of me making the shift. And then on top of that, just hearing countless accounts of people, you know, talking about there are no modern day apostles, you know, these YouTube clips people said to me about modern day apostles and things like that. And that's really what started the shift for me. Just seeing that, hearing that, and then, like I told you the first time we talked, seeing and witnessing the manipulation and an embellishment of stories, being at a meeting and seeing what happened, and then hear the account a couple weeks later, and it sounds totally different. You know, it went from exactly. So, you know, it went from, you know, praying over people and, you know, they getting excited to, you know, people were healed and we were throwing wheelchairs out the window and, you know, just this whole embellishing of the story, man. And even to the point, man, where, you know, like I said, good people that I trusted and call friends, you know, take conversations that we've had and just put so much extra on it. You know, I might have called him and said something like, you know, hey, man, I'm thinking about spraying, but man, Dwayne called me and he knew exactly what I was going through and he knew how many Cheerios was in my bowl left and everything.
You know? Wow, you had to gift a Cheerio count.
Yeah. Yeah, I could count them, man. Wow, I could count them.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so seeing that, man, that manipulation, seeing the embellishment, it really sent me on a path of just questioning, like, how real is this? Like, is this really, am I really an apostle? You know, is this really a thing, man? Because, like we talked about seeing Christ, I had an embellished story that I was telling, you know, that I was on the way to work and he appeared to me in my truck and I was telling this story. And deep down inside, I knew it wasn't true.
Wow.
You know?
Almost so rationalizing it or making it true, though. Yeah.
Exactly. So those are the things that led me to you know, question it, come out of it, just because of the irregular, you know, nothing lined up all the way. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in this movement, you have to make adjustments. You know, you have to say, well, maybe this is this, but it's not in the word, but hey, maybe he's hearing from God. Mm-hmm. And that's the downside of it, man. So
yeah,
that's kind of what I went through.
And for people listening too, and those that are longtime listeners of the podcast, we don't bring these things up. I know we joke about it and we laugh and it's good to have fun. But some people might be going, well, what's the big deal, man? They're Christians. You're a Christian. Like, why even bring up this subject? Why talk about it? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to know that, you know, when you have bad theology and bad doctrine, that starting point, you could start out at the same point, but all you need is one degree of difference off. Yeah. And 5, 10, 20 years down the line, you are so far gone from what the Bible actually says. And we've seen this progress even with, like we were talking about, the most popular one in Bethel, to where, you know, they are so far apart on some of these core doctrinal and theological beliefs that I think it's important that we point this out and just say, look at, you know, we do this, and like I said, we joke and we laugh, but you also do it out of love because you don't want to see your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, believing a false doctrine, a false theology that then leads them to sin, to pride, to self, to narcissism. Like you were saying, it's very self-involved. I have a ministry.
Oh,
I am an apostle. I'm all these things. You know, now me, who's a little more pessimistic and cynical, I like to call it realism, but everyone else calls it pessimism. You know, I look at that and I go, geez, you take a one-year course, you're an apostle. I mean, Paul would be so jealous. It took him getting knocked off his beast, meeting Christ in 14 years of making tents before he was able to go into
blind.
The city, being blind, and then go argue with, you know, Peter to see if he could even, you know, preach the word. So it almost helps necessitate this self-worthiness and kind of self-esteem and narcissism, like you were saying. Like, man, you know, you hear it so much, and like, I hate to keep bringing up Bethel, but they're one of the most popular ones, and it's just, you are loved and you are great and you are, you know, and God loves you right where you are, and you can do all things. And there's, you know, and all these scriptures out of context and things like that. Right. And I'll tell you what, we all know kids whose parents just told them how great they were their whole life and never disciplined them.
Right.
Never gave them any justice.
They're still playing video games in the basement.
And we don't like them. You don't like them for a reason. Just because they become narcissistic spoiled brats. And I don't want to become a narcissistic spoiled brat in the kingdom of God either. I mean, the Bible says he corrects us because he loves us.
Right.
He disciplines those he loves. And when we come from a theology of, you know, everything is rose petals and, you know, smells great and God loves us no matter what, that's a tough road that hopefully when you do come out of it, I mean, you can lose decades of your life into that and go, wow.
You turn around, you look back. Yeah. I mean, this is I don't know. I've always thought of this as the word of faith movement. I mean, this is just straight up, you know, just like you just said, narcissism.
Yeah.
All about you. You know, when everything should be all about God, because from Genesis to Revelation, it is. You know. Yeah. But I mean, right here, I got an Osteen meme, which is really funny. On one side, it's Osteen. It's I am prosperous. I am successful. I am talented. I am healthy. I am positive. I am beautiful. I am attractive. The power of I am. And then on the other side, it says, Paul, I am wretched. I mean, you know, but you know, that we have these teachers like Hagen and Copeland that pretty much started
Satan?
This.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah,
you sounded like someone else.
Yes, yeah, Satan.
You know, Copeland. I mean, when he says a quote that is, when I read, I am. I say, mm-hmm. I am too, you know, mm-hmm. and that's really what caught my attention whenever somebody started talking about the little gods doctrine, you know, that really, like, that's when my heart just like sank and my stomach just turned. I was just like, this is not something that I want to really be a part of anymore. You know, like, I knew that something was wrong in that situation for obvious reasons, because we are not deities. You know,
exactly.
We can't speak things into existence. I don't care how perfect you think your life is, it's not. Your righteousness is filthy rags, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because you dabbled in this a little bit, right?
Yeah, I did.
Not even too long ago.
And I didn't even know. This was a couple of years ago. I mean, I was following everything. I mean, I was fasting. I was...
Nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was saying, nothing wrong with fasting now.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
but it was very religious, very, you know, I was trying to stay on the schedule, mm-hmm. just be like, all right, well, if I do this, you know, then God's going to do that. You know, he's going to move in this area of my life if I'm really... you know, in tune with him in this way. And it was like, what am I even doing right now? You know, like,
so becoming kind of religious about it.
Yeah. Very religious about it. Yeah. And there was nothing in my heart that, I don't know. I felt like I was not, you know, praying for the right reasons. It was all about me and what I could get out of this.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
and it had nothing to do with just salvation. I mean, salvation is enough, you know, like, I mean, him dying on the cross for me is enough,
right?
You know, like, I mean, why do I need all these extra things? And why do I need to feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't have X, Y, and Z, then he must not like me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that stuff, you know, really just...
That's another good point. Maybe I can bring Dwayne in on this too, is I feel like there's a big push for... materialism almost.
Yeah.
Even though they preach,
we're supposed to have prosperity.
Well, that's what I mean, right? The material and the prosperity.
What they
say. And then you start like doing the whole like keeping up with the Joneses, but you're keeping up with like the other Christians. Like, well, I have this ministry, I had this many healings, I had this many words of knowledge, I have this many people underneath me as disciples. And this just weird thing where I think Dwayne hit the nail on the head. It's very narcissistic. It comes back to like building my own little kingdom because what God thinks of me, which goes right along with what you were saying in many gods. Did you experience a little bit of that as well, Dwayne?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all intertwined, man. You know, the little G complex, that's what we used to call it, you know, and it's funny because it actually dabbles into a urban ideology of, you know, 5%ers. You know, they say that they're God.
Explain that a little bit for our listeners. Explain the 5% if you don't mind.
Sure. So 5% is kind of like another religious organization. They claim they're not religious, but it was founded in prison in New York. And they think that, I guess, only 5% of the world knows that they are, that the man is God or the black man is God.
Quote, okay.
There are the quotes there. Mm-hmm. And so if you listen to Wu-Tang or there's a couple other, there's a lot of people in the industry that are 5%ers that, you know, claim that that the black man is God, and they have a whole theology behind it. So that actually, like I said, it actually creeps into the charismatic side, because, you know, the 5%ers, they call each other God. And then, you know, some of the circles I would get, you know, it's a little G, like, what's up, little G? You know, right. You're a little guy, you know, we guys, you know, so there's a little correlation there.
Well, in their defense, sure, it definitely wasn't the blue eyed, white, fair skinned Catholic Jesus. Yeah. He was definitely for darker, sure, than I was.
Yeah.
He had a little tan going on. All right. If we're going to be, we're going to be absolutely accurate, but yeah. Okay. So what were some biblical, maybe for either one of you guys, if you want to answer this, and any one of you can jump in, what were some biblical things that you saw? What were some maybe Bible verses or some things that was revealed to you through scripture where you went, okay, time to kind of start backing up out of this, because I don't see this lining up with what the Bible actually says. Who wants to go first? Anyone?
Yeah. I wrote down so many things, but like, I do not want to.
You got 2.5 minutes left.
I know, right? I mean, the first thing that I think of is just like, you know, the false teaching of like, hey, I'm gonna rebuke this demon myself. I am a son of God, and which I am, but like, I'm so powerful that I'm gonna speak to a demon, even speak to Satan.
Right.
You know, it's like, even in Jude, I mean, Jude 8 and 9, I could go there real quick.
Yeah.
But you know, like Michael the archangel did not even speak to the devil that way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He said, the Lord rebuke you, right here in 8 and 9, Jude 8 and 9, it said, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. You know, it's like, man, like what? Like, yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's one thing right there with false teachers within that movement.
And I've even come across those people who very rarely, they will pray in Jesus' name when they're maybe praying about demonic oppression. But for 99% of the other sermon and when they're talking, it's all about how they have that power given to them by God. When in fact, we're a conduit.
Yeah.
We're a conduit of righteousness, a conduit of his power. And I think, and Dwayne, why don't we jump over to you then? Do you have any specifics or any like big thing that stuck out to you besides, like you said, the narcissism and kind of the pressure of it? Was there anything you read in the Word that really went wow?
So I, and forgive me for not knowing the exact location of it, I think it's in Hebrews, just talking about, you know, that the Word, that it is what it is. Like, there's nothing, you know, the final say so of God, pretty much, or God's final word.
Mm-hmm.
That, because, you know, like you said, you're supposed to be able to write, you know, actual scripture verses. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be able to write the Bible part two. But to hear that, you know, this is the living, breathing word of God, and this is it.
Right.
You know, that is one of the things that really stuck out to me.
And if you question anyone that says that they heard something from God, they would come back to you and be like, oh, well, you're in unbelief and you just don't get it, right? Like,
exactly.
I experienced
that. That's what it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was the biggest thing, man, as far as, you know, something that stuck out. But then also the, you know, the selecting of, because a lot of people try to play on when they had to select, you know, apostle to replace Judas or a disciple to replace Judas. A lot of people play on that. But if you read the details of the requirement, again, we go back to this, you know, being with them, seeing Christ ascend, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
And those were the major things that always came back up, you know, as whenever I was dealing with it.
Right.
Yeah. So as we finish up here too, I'll kind of put some bookends on this. You know, when I read the scriptures too in the New Testament, and you see Bible verses like, in the last days they will become lovers of self. And then you have someone like you two on here that are saying, you know, this whole movement is very self-centered, right? We have social media that makes us self-centered. We're very narcissistic. We're almost hedonistic in our approach. Like, if it feels good, do it, right? That kind of thing. It's not surprising that this has become a very popular theology. I would probably say, you know, and I've been railing against this for 15 plus years, some of it on social media, geez, on social media, 10 plus years. I had people calling me crazy over
certain people. You're in cage stage.
I was in cage stage back then. I was. People needed to listen, but the Lord is bringing me along quite nicely, hopefully, to that sage stage. But I got a little cage in me still. You know what I mean? If you want to step to me, I still got a little cage in me, brother.
We all do.
Come on now. I got a little cage in me still.
Sometimes we got to bring the word.
Right, no, you got to bring the word and truth, right? And the Lord's working on me and bringing truth and love. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just like to drop the truth bomb and move on. But I would say that, you know, we talked about this at the top of the hour as we wrap up here, that, you know, when you have a bad theology or doctrine, once again, it can really get off. And we've seen that through the NAR prophets and apostles and how one after another just heresy and failure and moral failure and all these things. And I'm not saying that we're perfect by no means, but I'm also saying when the standard is set low and the standard is unbiblical, you're setting yourself up for failure. So Dwayne and Jason, if you guys have friends that are kind of in this line of thinking, because it's very popular, it's permeating throughout all kinds of non-denominational churches. And Dwayne, I'm sure you're familiar with this too. You're down in
for sure.
The Carolinas, like non-denominationals are even picking up Bethel songs and kind of NAR theology and kind of incorporating it, healing ministries and self-reflection and all this stuff. So I bet you any one of us could probably reach out and find 3, 4, 5 people that we know that are kind of influenced by this. Mm. What do we do? What do we do as believers that we call them brothers and sisters in the Lord? How do we bring them back in, or maybe kind of show them the error of the ways outside of praying that the Lord's will be done in their lives? He is sovereign. We know that the Lord is in heaven and he does what he pleases. What do we do? What do you guys think?
So I'll start that, because unfortunately I know friends and some family that went there because of me. I influenced them to go that direction, and I see it, and it's heartbreaking as I even think about it. And what I've done with them and what I would do with anybody that I know is I look for opportunity. You know, I don't bombard them like people did me on Twitter. I look for opportunity. I find that space in the conversation. Because one thing that I've learned is that they're always going to run into inconsistency. And when they do, I want to be right there. So, hey, see, right there. Yeah, that doesn't, that's not scripture. That's not biblical. But over here, man, look, whatever the words say, this is what we do. You know, so I just look for opportunity, man. That's my approach to anything. Even like I told you the first time I was on with my wife in the transition, just look for opportunities to point out the inconsistency in that thinking and theology, because it will show itself. It always does.
Mm, yeah, that's so good. So we talked 30 minutes about NAR. Can I ask you one more question, Dwayne? I'll just throw this at you. So we know what kind of turned you off about NAR and what was unbiblical. What got you? Because you could have landed anywhere after that. You could have landed in a plethora of places. What got you into Reformed or into the doctrines of grace? Or you know, I don't even really like using the word Calvinism, because people think it's after a guy. I just believe what the Bible says. So what got you there? Can I ask you that? And maybe just give us a few minutes on that.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And I wanted, before I get into it, I wanted my buddy T. Barlow, he actually raps the intro to my song.
Yeah.
And he says that he treats Calvinism like the N-word. Only certain people can call him that.
Oh, stop.
I love that.
Oh, that was the best one.
that big shout out to man T. Barlow. But so what got me from there to biblical theology is what I like to call it, because I honestly was on the path to fundamental Baptist. That was the path I was going to. And the reason why is because I was tired of the gimmicks and the signs and gifts and smoke machines and light and stuff. I was so tired of that. I thought, okay, fundamental Baptist, they don't believe in gifts. You know, they don't believe in apostles. They don't believe in none of that stuff. King James only. That was the direction I was going. By God's grace, man, a coworker of mine was actually Presbyterian pastor. Didn't know it at the time. Heard me talking about Calvinism. I was like, man, I was going to refute Calvinism, because, you know, Reformed Baptist. I was going to do that. And he was like, you want to learn about Calvinism? Like, yeah, sure. So I'm thinking I'm going to go in his office and learn about it and then flip it on them, show them how it's not biblical. And he walked me through the Westminster Confession and literally read line by line, turned around, asked me, did I agree, did all the note resource, I mean, the cross-reference with the scriptures. And when it was all over, I was like, dang, yeah. I'm a Calvinist.
I have audio. You know, like, I have audio of Jason reading the Westminster for the first time.
Nice.
That's right.
Cried like a little baby.
Right. I would have. Hey, man.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So you went in going, hey, I'm gonna flip the script on him. And then you went, hey, this kind of makes sense. It's what the Bible says.
It did. It did, man. It literally. And the funny thing is, it took me back to my roots because I grew up, you know, Baptist, Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And then I went into charismatic and all of that stuff, thinking that was another level of God, thinking that, you know, the Baptist is basic. But when I went to, you know, when I heard the Westminster hearing, you know, about the Trinity, about the Father, about sin, it's like, oh, this is all the stuff I grew up thinking and knowing, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just a beautiful thing to go back to that and actually hearing it explain all the things that I knew I believed, hearing it in words. Because a lot of times in the church, you know, it's all about, you know, you recite or you memorize, but to actually hear it explained and why this and why that, that was beautiful to me. Mm. And so he actually introduced me to Ligonier and Grace to You and True for Life, all those apps. And I started just like, I mean, I went crazy just listening. I always had earbuds in, listening to sermons, just like, just blown away by all of this information, man. And so that's what got me here.
Jason works on the line, and we were down at the Fight Laugh Feast conference. He goes, yeah, I got that Rules for Reformers on audiobook. He goes, I can listen to that twice in one shift. I go, good Lord.
Right?
Listen to an audiobook twice over in one shift. I mean, this guy's getting a word out of him. He's like,
It's a huge blessing to I mean, not to work for a motor company, but no, I'll just joke. But, you know, I can listen. Yeah, exactly. I can listen to, I mean, audiobook after audiobook, sermon after sermon all day long. And I did the exact same thing. It's funny you say this, Dwayne. Man, I was in the same boat. I mean, I went back to, right when I went through the little God situation. Little G, you know, I went and I started researching it online. I was just like, man, there's something wrong with this. Something wrong with this. Everything that I was bringing up were sermons from Reformed teachers. And,
James White and R.C. Sproul got me again.
Dude, all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is just hitting me right between the eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about God. This is not about how much I can do, you know? I mean, like, this isn't some kind of like, if I can just do enough, you know, he's going to do something.
Very religious. I said for 15 years that the NAR movement and Catholicism were so closely related, and people thought I was insane, but I said the way they put tradition and the way they almost have a works-based salvation. Uh-huh. Now, Catholicism is much more open about that, but it's almost subliminal within NAR how it's almost workspace. Right. But Dwayne, we don't want to keep you too long. Yeah. I know you've got other stuff to do tonight. Are we?
Oh man, I'm good. Man, I'm good. We can keep going till you barefoot get on here. I'm just kidding. Hey,
bring them in. We'll have them come in too. I have a little, man. You know, five guys on here. But are we allowed to talk about the fact that Dwayne is? And we're talking to an actor that's it's in a major motion picture. Are we allowed to talk about that, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
Can we bring that up?
We should now. We'll just
some little
followers.
Films that we know and like called Christ Alone, American Gospel.
Oh, you were in American
Gospel. Dude, he's gonna be in the third one.
Serious?
Flew out there, interviewed that the whole is thing. Awesome. So we're gonna be watching our boy Dwayne when comes out on. Yeah. I think it's gonna go right to Netflix. He's got a two thing deal with him, is what I read, because they put American Gospel, Christ Alone on there.
Okay.
And then I don't know what the third one's called, but our man Dwayne.
Yeah, we don't know yet either.
How awesome is that?
That is awesome.
It was amazing. Big shout out to Brandon Kimber. Brandon Kimber has been a friend of mine even before the podcast. Whenever I had the Be Not Deceived Facebook page, Brandon Kimber used to send videos and stuff, and we would post them. So big shout out to Brandon. He's always been a close friend. We were able to record. Actually talking about the NRA. So I do know that's in the movie because we talk about my testimony. And so I actually recorded at Brandon Kimber's church, which happens to be Alistair Begg's church, which is really cool. And True for Life headquarters is right down the street from the church. I drove down and took a selfie in front of the building. But excited about that.
Are they out of Ohio?
Yes. Yeah, they're in Ohio. I guess, was it Cleveland? Outside of Cleveland, something like that.
We need to take
like
a road trip down there. Man. Just bombard Alistair with the podcast.
Yeah,
right. What's up, man?
Yeah, he's about two and a half hours south of us. So yeah.
Yeah. So also, our brand is coming out with his own streaming service called AGTV.
Okay.
And that's actually going to be available Apple everywhere. You download the app just like you do any other. And Just Thinking will have a spot on there. It'll be mostly picture graph, audio, whatever. But eventually when we get into video, Just Thinking to be on AGTV as well.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Look at you. Always going. See, mm-hmm. I mean, the way he promotes other people, supports them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord just takes care of you, man. You're always getting opportunities to do those things. And obviously it's for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's the way that should be.
Yes, sir.
It's the way it should be. It's,
yeah. Whenever it turns into your own platform and you're not.
Hey, we would gladly out, go on an American Gospel, but I don't know if they need two more white guys with beards talking about Reformed theology. It's kind of a crowded space right now.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's wrap it up here. Dwayne, you got any final thoughts for us? Anything you want to throw out to the listeners?
Man, to the listeners, especially those that, you know, are dealing with or in or know somebody that's in the New Apostolic Reformation, first and foremost, pray for them. If you're in it, pray that God opens your eyes and really search the scriptures. And we want to make sure that everything you do lines up, not just one thing and this doesn't or this do and this don't. But everything that deals with it lines up, man. And so that's just my biggest encouragement for everybody, not just people that are dealing with NRA, but anybody that just in church in general. Let's pray, you know, consistently and read the word consistently and make sure that we are following Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely. Jason, you got anything before we leave?
That was perfect. Love it.
Go ahead.
Nice to meet you, Dwayne.
Yeah, that's the first time these two have talked. I loved it. Okay. Dwayne, it's always a great episode when you come on. And for all the listeners, thank you so much for reaching out to us on social media. Be sure to follow us at Dead Men Walking Podcast on YouTube, Parler, Facebook, and
MySpace.
Instagram. We should open a MySpace just because they're still there, aren't they? And Instagram.
We're on Friendster.
You can follow us at Dead Men Walking Podcast. We appreciate the comments, the feedback, all that good stuff. And DMWpodcast.com. You can go get some gear. We just got two orders for t-shirts. Yeah. I just shipped them out on Wednesday. So t-shirts, hats, stickers. We're going to be adding more stuff to that as time goes on. But Dwayne, thank you so much for being here. We love you, brother. We know that you're a true brother in Christ, and we love having you on the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. As always, God bless. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast for full video podcast episodes and clips, or email us at deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
And your biscuit.
Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
And your biscuit.